It's the Ruckus number 6. Today's episode of The Ruckus is chock full of fat and calories and sugar and sweets. It is a episode dedicated entirely to the guilty pleasures. The guilty pleasures in life. Rachel.
Yes, Justin?
The guilty pleasures.
The guilty pleasures.
That's correct. I'm Justin.
And I'm Rachel.
This is The Ruckus. This is how we roll.
Okay, well today I don't have exactly news. What I have is something that I'd like to share with the world called Overheard In. It's this series of websites. It's all about posting the weird, strange snippets of conversation we hear out there in public. There's an Overheard in London, and there's an Overheard in Pittsburgh, and there's an Overheard in New York, and Dublin, and Edinburgh, and they're really fabulously hilarious.
I could see why you picked this as your news story for the Guilty Pleasures episode.
Yeah, I guess it does kind of fit in like that. So I've picked a couple of really good ones that I found today from Overheard in New York.
Would you like to share them with us?
I would love to share this with you. The first was Overheard in Forever 21. That's a girls' clothing store in the dressing room. And I just want to say that in general, girls' bathrooms and dressing rooms are great places to overhear some crazy shit that girls say to each other. So here we go.
Wait, go ahead. Can I make a guess?
Make a guess. Would you like to make a guess, Justin?
Does it have anything to do with quantum physics or... Let me see. Are they... Hey, Nancy? Yeah, Susan? What happens to our soul when we pass away? Is that the kind of stuff you think you
overhear? It's always very deep.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So here we go. Girl number one. I just haven't felt like going out. I've turned into such a... What's the word? A homophobe. Girl number two. What? Don't you mean a homophiliac? Girl number one. Yes, that's what I meant. God, why can't I think straight today?
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Pretty fucking hilarious.
That's the kind of shit, like, when you and I are walking around, I will repeat to you things that I hear people say. And that's the kind of thing, like, if I heard that, I would be like, commit it to memory until I see Rachel.
People do say the most hilarious shit. Yeah. Okay, this one was overheard in New York on the Uptown 2 train. Little boy. How come every time you come around my London Bridge? Father, I told you I don't like that song. Stop singing it. Little boy, wanna go down like London. Father, if you don't stop singing it, I'll kill you. Little boy, London. Father, that's it. I killed you. You're dead. No one can see you now. Little boy, I can't be dead. I have to pee.
Awesome.
Yeah.
One time I was at the video store.
Yeah.
Overheard in the video store. Uh-huh. And... the kids were running around. There was a family. It was a dad and a boy and a girl, a little boy and a little girl. And they're running around going fucking ape shit, just running everywhere inside of the video store. And little boy's got like a fucking Dumbo or, you know, one of those kind of kids movie, cartoon movies in his mouth running around. And the girl's just screaming, chasing him through up and down the aisles and everything. And the dad goes, "Stop it." And they keep running. And he pulls Freddy versus Jason off of the shelf, and he says, "If you guys continue acting like animals, I'm renting this."
Nice.
You want me to do a news story?
Yeah. I just want to wrap it up by saying that y'all should check out Pick One. Overheard in Dublin is rather fun because there's a lot of cultural references that I don't understand going on with the things they overhear that, you know.
That's always great.
That's always fun when you don't really get it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thought that now would be a good time for us to share with the good people that we have, in fact, tracked down, located, and perused the Lindsay Lohan naked pictures.
And where did we finally find it after a whole week of looking through the Barnes and Nobles and Borders of the world?
It was more than a week. It was like 2 weeks. We found it at the Long Beach Public Library.
That's right. The public library had the nudie pictures.
The best library, hands down, better than LA Library. Listen to episode 4, I think it is, where I just fucking go on and on about how wonderful the library is. They have now given me Lindsay Lohan's naked freckled body. You cannot beat that library.
So, Justin, what did we think about this photo spread?
I actually thought that, after much consideration, it was not only a terrible idea, but the execution was actually surprisingly bad also.
You know, I bet you some people might not even know what the idea is. Maybe we should... Just very quickly for everybody, there was a classic photo spread done with Marilyn Monroe in a hotel where she's wearing nothing and there are flimsy things and jewelry barely covering her business. And they decided to recreate that photo spread with Lindsay Lohan.
That is correct. And in the Lindsay Lohan one, you do indeed see her nipples. I don't think you do in the Marilyn Monroe ones, but I could be wrong because they only have little itty-bitty thumbnails of the Marilyn Monroe ones to peruse. They succeeded tremendously in making Lindsay Lohan look like she's about 50 years old. She looked horrible.
I agree. Her makeup was terrible. I could have done better makeup on her. The wig they chose for her was terrible. The color didn't go with her complexion, and it was just a nasty fucking wig. I don't know if she was stoned or out of it or what, but, you know, the expressive, funny, cute girl that we see when she's in movies and such was not in this photo spread at all. She looked like a zombie, kind of, in my opinion.
They picked a lighting scheme that really accentuated the wrinkles in and around her eyes as well. Not flattering at all.
Nope.
She looked better on the movie poster for Herbie the race car movie,
yep.
Whatever the fuck that was. Music has been submitted to us by an artist named Shanya D. You can check her out if you like it at shanyad.net. That's shanyad.net. She also has MySpace at myspace.com/ShanyaD, and same spelling. And the song you're about to hear is called Carne Guisada, and it's featuring EVP.
When all your money's spent and yo, you gotta pay the rent. Yo mande amor para todo color. Mamacita, lo siento tu dolor. Canción de esperanza, no one is promised mañana. And so we rhyme into the beat, and yes, we time into the beat. Send a message to the street, vida real. Es uno de amor. Canción de esperanza, canción para mejor. For all my family, for all my friends, we sending these signals, receive the message, send.
Oye, mami.
Oye, papi.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Estoy pensando. Thinking of
you, honey, but I really like that song. I really enjoy it.
It definitely creates a mood, an atmosphere, that song does.
It's really kind of one of those songs that you want to hear when you're driving and it just rained the day before and it's...
And you're in Hawaii.
And you're in Hawaii and maybe you're going somewhere special, the Pineapple Factory. Pick up somebody you like.
Pick a pineapple I like.
And you get there and somebody tries to sell you a map to another place, but you don't really want to go there. Should I introduce the topic for the day?
I'll go ahead. You've done all the... You've been leading the dance.
Oh, I don't want to...
Let me take the lead.
Don't make me... this is not a man's world, Rachel. I'm... You know, you're living in the past. Welcome to the 21st century. You and I are partners here, so why don't you go ahead and let the people know what we're talking about?
Well, today our topic is, Justin and I will be discussing our own individual guilty pleasures, but we thought it might be a good idea to start off with talking about just exactly what is a guilty pleasure, because it seems to mean something different to whoever it is that you ask about it. What does it mean for you, Justin, a guilty pleasure?
A guilty pleasure, to me, it's like something that you really enjoy a lot to the cockles of your heart, but you're not real proud to admit it, maybe. Or maybe it's just like, you know that you like it, but it doesn't have a lot of, like, intellectually redeeming values.
So it's almost like, you know, on one level, you really like it, but also on another level within yourself, you know you shouldn't. Or you fear other people think you shouldn't.
Well, if I tell you that 2001 is one of my most favorite movies.
Yeah.
And I'm like in a room full of people and they're like, hey, what's your favorite movie? And I say 2001. Nobody's going to dispute that. You throw that down, that's like, say, you know, what's your favorite literary piece of work? It's Lolita or War and Peace. Like, oh, enough said. Go no further. You, sir, are obviously somebody way smarter than I am, so I can't possibly, you know.
You're a man of discerning taste.
Exactly. But when, in my heart, when they say, what is your favorite movie? And I say,
Mean Girls.
Then suddenly, you know, I've got a room full of people that are like jeering me.
Right. So you're either self-sanctioning it or you expect that, you know, the public will sanction you for it.
There's things in life that you enjoy a lot, but you really can't justify to a very large degree. I don't even know if that's right. Okay. To me, here's what a guilty pleasure is. It's something that you enjoy on such a base level. It's not a heady kind of thing. It's not something that, you know, if somebody says, well, what do you like about 2001? Or what do you like about, you know, one of these kinds of movies? Then you get into like this real intellectual kind of heady kind of discussion about it. But if somebody says, what do you like about Bring It On? Then you could say it's cute girls making funny jokes.
Yeah. Well, I think that for me, a guilty pleasure is something that, first of all, I don't like feeling guilty, and I rarely do. Start off with that. But I don't really feel guilty about the things I'm calling guilty pleasures. But it tends to be something that I like a lot, but I have been told or have come to believe that it's odd or strange to like it. So I'm afraid to tell people about it or be proud of it. Or I have certain values that are important to me, like it's important to me to seem smart. And this thing that I like doesn't make me look smart, or it's important to me to seem like a lady, but this thing that I do isn't very ladylike. Do you know what I mean? So it has to do with the values that I hold about how I identify myself and what's important to me and how these things that I like could go against those values that I hold.
Or maybe it's like, you know, the things that you like that don't maybe have a lot of artistic merit. I was talking to Devin and I told him that you and I like Bollywood movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was one of the things that you were saying, oh, well, should that go on the guilty pleasures list? Because I don't know if that's a guilty pleasure because it's kind of cool. But when I told Devin that we liked Bollywood movies, he was like, oh, are you guys like those kind of people that like things that it's so stupid that it's funny kind of thing? I don't think that's it. They're entertaining, and like a Bollywood movie, you're having like a cultural experience. And not just, I'm watching this movie and I think this is the way people in India, this is the way they live, but this is something that they're choosing for their own entertainment.
I would venture to say that people who make Bollywood movies, obviously, but also people who are fans, there's probably been books written about the artistic merit and the history of Bollywood movies. They've been around for a while. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, people don't know what to do with it. And so, exactly. It's something that you like that you don't know if other people are going to be like, all right, awesome. Or if they're going to be like, you're lame. I don't get it.
You have to admit that to a certain level, I mean, what do you like about Bollywood movies? It's that the music and the dancing is really phenomenal, but they are really long and kind of boring. There's certainly stretches where it's like, man, this movie really could have been like an hour shorter. But, you know, that's the style.
They're playful and they're whimsical. And they're these sweeping, crazy, insane, chaotic, epic, bizarre things. And I don't know. I don't know if I read this or if I came to this on my own. But, you know, most of the people that live in India are very, very poor. And a lot of them are starving. This is a method of escape for people that don't really have a whole lot to look forward to. So the fact that they're thick with fantasy, yeah, I mean, I'd want all the icing on my cake if I couldn't have it every day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, huge tangent.
Yeah, sorry.
In Bollywood. Bollywood movies, guilty pleasure, yes or no? What is your verdict?
I'm going to go ahead and say yeah, just because I don't think most people understand Bollywood movies, and I suspect I won't get a positive reaction. I don't go blaring to the world how much I love Bollywood movies.
Okay. But at the same time, liking Bollywood movies makes you seem kind of cool. You're kind of cultured.
I know.
Like any foreign film, you got to imagine that there's a lot of people out there that maybe the uninitiated would look at you and think, wow, what a worldly person. She likes movies in a different language.
I suspect if we were in Iowa and we were at a bar telling people we liked Bollywood movies, we would not be met with a positive or even a cool response.
You don't think so?
No. I do not think so.
Okay.
So tell me one of your guilty pleasures, Justin?
My guilty pleasures. When I was a young man, there was a time when I had just gotten out of high school and was unemployed. And I was sick, literally sick, not like sick in the head, but like...
You were illin.
I was ill. I don't know if I would go as far as to say I was illin, but I was ill. And in the middle of the day, a TV soap opera came on called Days of Our Lives.
I have to tell you, I didn't expect this.
Well, let me tell you, what sucked me into Days of Our Lives is the main character, her name was Marlena, was possessed by Satan, and they had her speaking, and she was doing the
"Let Jesus fuck you"
kind of, like, she wasn't saying that, but she had that voice.
Yeah,
you know, like from The Exorcist. And John was like her lover, and he was also a priest, and so like they had this fucking really insane exorcism, Marlena possessed by Satan thing going on. And I continued to watch that show for months after the Satan storyline was over. And it was really just because I was hoping they would get back to something really fucking cool like that again, but they never did. And I learned that the way that soap operas work, daytime soap operas, Monday is the big reveal. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is just reminding you of what they revealed on Monday. And then on Friday is the cliffhanger for the new reveal on Monday. So you only get one new piece of information every week.
Yeah, and it's like 5 or 10 subplots, and you only get like 2 minutes of each or something.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And loads of commercials.
And the thing about it, what's so shitty about soap operas, let me tell you, those of you who haven't figured out already that soap operas are shitty, let me tell you why they're shitty. Everything in it is like, Marlena's possessed by the devil, and only one thing can save her. Okay, so like that goes on for the entire week. Hey, did you hear about John and Marlena? Quiet, Susan. I heard only one thing can save Marlena. And, you know, Bill knows what it is, you know? And so it's just people talking about the same fucking thing in different parts of the town. Every fucking person is just reminding you. It's so much exposition. It's just so, so much exposition.
And that's why it's a guilty pleasure, because you hate it. But you did love it for a time.
I actively hated it while I was loving it.
That's a really potent example. Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, there was that. And then there's the one, the current day soap opera that I'm watching, and that's Desperate Housewives. And I have no shame about that. I think that is a fucking excellent show. Excellent, excellent show. Well written. Hilarious. All of the women are hot. Every single one of them. What's not to like? It's got like a murder mystery every season.
I think it's boring. Boring. But that's, you know, why it's guilty pleasure, because not everybody likes it.
Let's keep it in the realm of TV. What is your television guilty pleasure?
There's one. There is. I hate reality TV. Hate it on philosophical and moral and intellectual and artistic levels.
I can tell already that by that preface, whatever you're going to say next, this is exactly what a guilty pleasure is.
Right.
Because you're totally qualifying it.
I am. Okay. You have to qualify a guilty pleasure.
All right, go ahead.
You have to. I adore Project Runway.
As do I.
Yeah. I love it.
What do you like about it?
I like that there is it's all about the creative process under pressure. There's limitations imposed, and these people need to use whatever skill set they bring and really make the most of their resources, you know, in a really short time frame. And as an artist myself, it's really fabulous to see what they do with that and what direction they go and how they succeed and how they fail. And it's very intriguing to me. I enjoy it quite a bit for that reason.
So is this what you've constructed to tell yourself this is why this is different from other reality programs?
Well, it's why it appeals to me. And I don't know how many reality programs have those facets to it. You know, the challenge facets, probably a lot of them. I think that probably the one where they have to survive running through the jungle is great for some people, but I could care less about that, you know.
That's called Survivor.
Right, okay, that one.
I've got one.
Okay.
Should we do this like a confession?
I don't care. Go ahead. Yes, please. Yes, my son.
We're doing a podcast together. Are you interested?
I don't care.
Okay, I...
Bless me, Rachel, for I have sinned.
Bless me, Rachel, for I have sinned. I am a big fan of really cheesy dance music.
Me too.
But your music that you like that's dance music and cheesy is just totally lame. The music that I like that's cheesy, it's an infectious. It's... I dare you to listen to Justin Timberlake and keep your toes from tapping.
I like Justin Timberlake.
I dare you to listen to Fergie.
I like Fergie. I like the Bee Gees.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Bee Gees.
See, there's a guilty pleasure.
Well, what do I like in music that you just totally detest? You've heard everything that I
La
like.
La girl music. I can't stand it.
What is an example of la-la girl music?
I don't know.
Like Feist?
Again and again and again and again. Do it again. Do it again. I don't know. Shit like that. Fucking can't stand it. Just want to slit my wrists.
I was listening to that CD like 2 days ago.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
The Bird and the Bee. Yeah, I love them. That's the band that does the cover of the Bee Gees song.
Yeah, well, I like that.
They do a cover, How Deep Is Your Love, everybody, and it's phenomenal. You should check it out.
Yeah, it's great.
If you like girly la-la music, Regina Spektor, I love. Rachel does not like Regina motherfucking Spektor.
I don't like Regina Spektor. I'm sorry.
I like Jem.
Nope.
Yeah.
See? There you go.
Such a divide.
But, you know, another thing we have in common is a love of Madonna. Which people think that you shouldn't like Madonna unless you're a gay man. Then it's okay.
The thing that I like about Madonna is that she's awesome. What the hell else is there to say about it? I mean, she's fucking like she's a goddamn icon, you know? Like, she's a phenomenal musician. She's a great singer. And you know, she's not stupid. She's a smart person. And her lyrics sometimes are... good, not always.
No, but yeah, she has a nice diversity to her work. I actually admire Madonna, in fact. But that's a whole different subject. But since we're on the subject of inappropriate musical tastes, I'll go ahead and throw out my love of Journey and Rush. And we've already brought up the Bee Gees, Depeche Mode. And also I like heavy metal, like hair metal.
I think that for every one of those things that you just named,
yeah,
I don't think anybody would protest.
Like I've heard people freak out on me.
For liking Journey.
Oh, yeah.
They're one of the fucking greatest rock bands to ever grace the earth.
I can't believe... I don't think you mean that.
No, I really don't. But, you know, they're not bad. It's like you say, I like Journey. It just goes to a place of, oh, well, I could see why you would like them. I mean, if you're going to bring up music that you don't or that you like that is lame, you like the entire catalog of the 80s that people have been trying to forget about.
Any 80s song I like.
Just about. And when she says any 80s song, it's literally fucking any one of them. It's like, oh, it's another one of those guys with the keyboard and the drum machine. And it's like, Rachel knows the words. You've never heard it before. And it, you know, the D side off of NXS's worst hits.
And I can usually name it in three notes.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And singing along.
It's true. I love me my bad 80s music.
What was the one that you had to send out the bloodhounds to search down this song for you? And some, because you still haven't found the correct version of it, apparently.
No, I still haven't. It's called White Horse. And I used to know the name of the band who did it. And this is literally like one song by one band. Yeah, it's awesome. I love this song.
Now, I've got to say that I've never actually heard the alleged original version of the White Horse that I've heard you talk about to no end, really. But I have heard two of the wrong versions of it, the remixes, which I guess are a little bit faster than the one you're looking for.
Yeah, they're pretty close. They're close.
But yeah, I'm confounded.
It was on MySpace once. It was somebody had uploaded the original one, and I had it as my MySpace song for a while, but then it got taken away, or they changed their mind, or I don't know, but I haven't found it since. Yeah.
Well, basically, people, I'll just tell you right now, if you want to ride the white horse, that's it. That's the whole song five minutes.
You forget that it's got beep, boop, beep. Beep, boop, beep.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, you ready? You ready? You do the beep, boop, beep. If you want to ride.
Beep, boop, beep.
Ride the white horse.
Beep, boop, beep, beep, beep.
Was that too soon?
Beep, boop, beep. Yeah, it's okay.
I could tell I rushed it. If you want to be rich.
This is the best part. You got to be a bitch. Anybody who's listening who likes this song, they understand. That's all that matters.
Well, I think even the people who don't understand now, they're like, oh yeah, they make it sound good.
It's back when keyboards were just amazingly cool in music.
Oh, yeah. It's when a fucking Kraftwerk came out and everyone was like, oh, my God. It's like fucking singing computers. Blah, 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 blah. Other movies.
Oh, movies? We want to go with movies? Okay. I love bad horror movies.
You do.
I do. For example, I love Cloverfield, which was of the horror sci-fi crossover type.
Mm-hmm.
Van Helsing.
Yes, I liked Van Helsing.
You liked Van Helsing. Cheesy, cheesy fucking movie. So you have to suspend your disbelief, but hilarious. Also, I like the movies that I liked as a kid. Like, I love the Sinbad movies and the movies about giant insects like them and Food of the Gods and Ben. All those really ridiculous, incredibly stupid movies where small things get big and eat people. Love those movies.
See, now the thing for me, when you mention this, loving the movies from your childhood, there are ones that I do love. Beetlejuice, Time Bandits, I could watch them over and over again.
Yeah, but those are good movies.
Well, I'm getting to my point.
Okay.
Dead Alive, Evil Dead, Army of Darkness. I fucking loved these movies when I was in high school. I cannot watch them at all. I think it's the dumbest shit ever. And I know there's going to be a shit ton of people out there just, what are you saying? That's blasphemy. Fucking Evil Dead is the greatest. What is great about fucking Evil Dead? I fucking cannot watch that dumb movie anymore.
I think you can wear out on it. Just like Monty Python is fabulous, like, once or twice. But after 20 times, it wears you out. Like, you just can't.
I knew a dude in high school who had an audio recording of the Holy Grail on a cassette tape, and he would just kick it in his car and listen to Monty Python and the Holy Grail from beginning to end in his car all the time.
See, that's a guy I was friends with in high school, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was a big dork. I still am. What are we kidding? Who are we kidding? That's part of this whole guilty pleasure episode. Really, it's about how Justin and Rachel are still dorks.
Are we outing ourselves?
We are.
This is a liberating thing. This is what the Scientologists make you do, people. This is our cleansing.
That's right. Oh, here's my last one. I'm sorry, in terms of the movie thing. Period films with costumes. I love period films with costumes. Doesn't matter what it is.
I agree. You do.
For example, the Elizabeth movie, which actually was a good movie. Original Sin with Angelina Jolie and Antonio Banderas. Horrible, horrible movie. Loved that movie. Loved it. I adore Dangerous Liaisons, and that actually is a very good movie.
Yeah, I think that you could get away with
it. Cruel Intentions is definitely a guilty pleasure.
You know they made 3 of those?
Yeah, I doubt I'd be happy with any of the sequels, but loved Cruel Intentions.
Now, I'm going to tell you about movies that I loved, that I do love. I love musicals, and I love Gidget movies.
I know.
But you know what? I don't like all musicals. The musicals I love the most are the ones from, like, the 60s. Everything from, like, the late 50s, mid-60s, all the way up to maybe the early 70s. All of those musicals and stuff. Like, things where like, teenagers were doing it, but not saying that they were doing it, but you knew that they were doing it.
It's just chock full of innuendo.
Yeah. And you know what? I just really like the idea of everybody just being happy all the time. And you know, everybody's kind of in on the joke together. And nobody really is going around making each other feel bad. And I think that, you know, that's what's wrong with kids today. We didn't have torture porn when I was growing up. We didn't have Hostel and Saw and... Well, this was before I was growing up, but in our human history, we wanted to see movies about people falling in love and singing songs about it. And now we want to see people getting their fucking fingers cut off. What is the matter with us?
Well, I like seeing people get their fingers cut off, honey, so I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I guess it's just... It's more exciting when all the adrenaline's pumping through you and you feel like fight or flight or something is just somehow more of a high than love and songs.
Well, I don't know. I like love and songs.
I know. So what's your favorite Gidget movie so far?
Oh, Gidget Goes to Rome.
Oh, you like that one the best?
Gidget Goes to Rome is the best Gidget movie. And I know that there might be some dissension among the Gidget fans because, you know, the original Gidget, Sandra Dee, was very good. Second Gidget, Gidget Goes Hawaiian, not so good. Did not like Gidget Goes Hawaiian very much at all. And really the reason why I didn't like Gidget Goes Hawaiian very much is because they did film it in Hawaii. It looked like they went to Hawaii. But they showed Hawaii for about 2 fucking minutes. And it was all interiors. It was like at a luau. It was inside the hotel. It was everywhere except showing Hawaii.
And when you see a movie in Hawaii, one of your guilty pleasures is you want to be seeing Hawaii.
Absolutely.
Because you love Hawaii.
That's why you... Elvis went to Hawaii and we saw Hawaii all over the fucking place. All they did was... He was like the tour bus driver or the car driver. Like he would take people on tours of Hawaii. So you got to see a lot of Hawaii. That's what you want from a blank character goes to Hawaii. You want to see the place.
I agree.
In Gidget Goes to Rome, the entire movie was shot in Rome. It was beautiful. The thing that I like about Gidget Goes to Rome is that you could tell that the focus was, it was like, fuck that. Gidget's a totally liberated woman. Like, she doesn't need to hang with the guys because she is her own person. God damn you, Gidget. I love you.
Well, I don't quite know how to follow that up, but I'm going to give it a try here. One of my guilty pleasures, there is an element of shame here, actually, so it's hard for me to say. Everybody will hear, but it's all right, because I am okay with it. One of my guilty pleasures is not wearing a bra. I hate bras. They suck. They hurt. They're uncomfortable. They're retarded and unnecessary unless you're wearing a certain kind of outfit. And if I can get away with it in any given moment, I will not wear a fucking stupid bra. There.
Also, one of my guilty pleasures
is me not wearing a bra.
Exactly.
It's weird, though. Like, people get really weird about it if you're not wearing a bra. Like, I remember back when I was a kid, like, girls would be like, oh, my God, did you see? She's not even wearing a bra. It was, like, a big deal.
How much of a kid? Like, when you were six?
Probably, like, I don't know, like, 12 all the way up. I mean, I don't really hang out with girls that talk shit like that, or they've kind of grown out of the need to. I would imagine there are women my age that are still deeply offended at seeing me walking around in public without a bra on.
Well, you could just tell them that you're a hippie.
I imagine that's probably what they think. Either mm-hmm. that or I'm just an unkempt woman.
But in reality, you're standing up for a cause.
Yeah, my own comfort.
Okay, well, you said you didn't know how to follow it, and then you topped it. So, so there you have it. I like Underworld. I love Underworld. I fucking hate movies about vampires. I hate movies about werewolves. That's not completely true. I think movies about vampires and werewolves are rarely very good. But Underworld, fabulous from beginning to end. And in a totally non-ironic sort of way. In the way that I like Van Helsing, that absolutely is a movie that I enjoy because it is so stupid and ridiculous. Underworld, I love because I get swept away in the adventure, and I'm so into it, and I think it's so cool, and I want to read comic books about Underworld land, and I want to know what's going to happen next. I fucking love those movies.
Yeah, you're a dork.
One and two.
Yeah, I know, and two's terrible. Oh, it's bad.
Dude, they can make seven of those, and I would love them, like, I would love them all equally.
And where I differ from you is I like werewolf movies. I like just about all of them. I don't think I've seen a werewolf movie that I have not liked. That's not on my list. Because I don't feel guilty about my love of werewolf movies. I'm unemployed at the moment, but back when I was employed, I enjoyed calling in sick and playing hooky at any given opportunity. In fact, I think rarely did I ever use sick time for being actually sick. And also taking extended lunch breaks.
That is very interesting. Me being employed at a job that I love, have no idea what that's like to call in sick and play hooky and have an extended lunch and slack off. My guilty pleasure is, well, I just work too darn hard. I think even my boss would laugh if she heard that. One of the things that I'm going to admit to is that I am completely obsessive about something always. I'm always completely obsessive about something. Let's see, there was the board game collection where I was amassing a shit ton of board games. I literally took a stack of board games and put them out on the street with a little sign that said free games just to get rid of some because they were beginning to own me, which is nice because I do this from time to time. When I was younger, I collected action figures. I had probably $1,000 worth of plastic in action figure form in my apartment. And I go through this purging thing where me and my roommate destroyed every single action figure that I had and made like art projects out of it. I got obsessive about making balloon animals for a little while. I just, like, my friend was a clown, and he was making balloon animals one day, and I was like, oh, that looks pretty easy, and it looks pretty cool. That's what I think it is more than anything else. As soon as I see something, I want to make that thing. Like, I want to learn how to make it. So, like, with puppetry, I started getting way into puppetry, and I wanted to learn how to make puppets, and I even started meeting puppeteers and working with them. With the board games, like, I've designed and written my own board games, and I do all the artwork for them and everything. So I think the obsession just comes from, like, I feel this need to create things all the time, and it always starts with me just collecting tons and tons of things first.
So then, how does the current HeroScape obsession fit into this?
Now, if you notice, Rachel, when was the last time that I've been like, we need to go to Target and get some HeroScape?
I think about 2 weeks ago, I called you from a Target, and you told me to go to the toy section because you were looking for something from Collection 5 that you were missing, because you have almost every single thing that's been issued so far of HeroScape.
You are so full of crap.
That's
I can't
not
even
true
believe.
At all.
Okay. Here's my problem with HeroScape. I do like it, and I do have a lot of them, but I don't have anybody to play with. The guy that I used to play with, he's just always busy, and my brother moved away, and now, you know, it's the need to own them all has subsided significantly. But that isn't to say, you know, if you were in Target and they happened to have it on the shelf, I don't know, maybe you're just looking. I'm only missing three. I mean, might as well complete the series while you're there.
I'd play HeroScape with you, Justin, if you'd ever let me win. But it's no fun to play and get eaten by the chompy monster. That's all.
Lord. We really are like the Scientologist right now, doing the Scientology cleansing.
Are you feeling it? Are you feeling a transformation?
Like, let's say something happens where, like, you died in a fiery crash, and I started going back into the dating scene.
Yeah.
And potential Mrs. Awesome starts, oh, let me type up your name on Google. Oh, you do a podcast. Let me listen to one. And they hear this episode. They're going to be like, no, you're a total fucking loser. You're I'm not going to date you. You're a dork. Unless, you know, like, a fat chick. I probably get a fat chick with this podcast. I love HeroScape. That's what I'm looking for in a potential mate. You like the library, too?
You better delete that out, because you're going to piss off some fat chicks who might listen to the podcast.
Our HeroScape fans, and then that would be even worse, because those are the people I actually want to hang out with. Okay. Oh, no, Rachel, I just looked at my list. You want to know what my favorite guilty pleasure is?
Yes.
Off of the dumb shit that I could think of?
Yes.
Okay. This is a hilarious joke, and everybody, if you ever get the opportunity, do this. When you go to Blockbuster, and personally, I have not been to Blockbuster in years and years since they had VHS tapes on the shelves, so this tells you how long ago I was doing this joke. There are two movies, both called Firefox. One movie is about old people, and it's like a Fried Green Tomatoes kind of movie.
Yeah.
The other one is about girls who fight.
Yeah, hot chicks.
Hot chicks who fight. Yeah. Yeah, Firefox. So what I would love to do is just drop one tape out and the other tape out and then switch the cases, because they both have the exact same title and everything, and put them in the opposite cases. And just imagine the person who, either way, whichever one they take home, it makes me giddy with delight to think of both homes with the fucking wrong version of Firefox.
That is brilliant. I love that. Oh, that is good. That's delight. You can't do that anymore.
No.
Unless you work for Netflix.
Well, you know, there's still video stores, so, I mean, you can still go into them. But usually they keep them behind the shelf now. Like, they're not right there on the shelves anymore.
Yeah.
Didn't you used to do, like, a cookie scam at your school when you were a little kid? Did you have a cookie scam?
I did. This is more of a confession about my criminal mind than it is a guilty pleasure. But when I was a kid, you could purchase chocolate chip cookies. The maximum you could purchase was two, and it was for 5 cents a piece. And so the deal is if you ate inside the cafeteria, you could buy her two. and that was it. Or if you had your lunch outside, your sack lunch, you could buy two. And so what I would do is I would take a paper sack and fill it with newspaper, and then I'd go and eat in the cafeteria with my discounted meal ticket and buy my two cookies. And then when I was done eating, I would go outside in line with my paper sack lunch full of newspaper, and I would buy my two cookies, and then I'd have four cookies. But then it progressed to where I would have dimes in my pocket, and I would go down the line of kids waiting outside with their sack lunch, and I would say, if you buy me two cookies, I'll give you one. And I would just hand out dimes. So they would buy two cookies, and they'd get one out of it, and I'd get one out of it, so that I'd end up with like two handfuls thick full of cookies. And I'd have to go eat them in secret because I'm not supposed to have that many cookies. And if I got caught with them, they'd find out what I had done.
So at the time, was that a guilty pleasure? Because you were eating the cookies in secret.
I don't know. Maybe. It definitely goes along with one of my current guilty pleasures, which is a love of dessert.
Absolutely. Yes. That might have been where it all developed right there.
Yes.
Maybe every time you take a bite out of that fucking... What was that thing you were eating last night that was just like...
A giant cream puff.
Yes, and when she says giant cream puff, think of like whipped cream stacked up to the size of your head. And that's what Rachel was eating.
Yeah, it's basically a head-sized cream puff.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that when you're eating your giant cream puff, that like deep down inside, little Rachel is like sticking it to the system?
I don't think so. I love dessert, and people, and I know that people are going to give me shit for it, so that's the guilt part, is having to deal with everybody's disapproval, because I will sit down for dinner and eat dessert first, and then eat dinner. You know, people fucking flip out. Or I'll have dessert for breakfast. I'll have dessert every meal if I can manage it. People don't like it when you do that, so I get disapproval. There's the guilty pleasure part of it. But I don't feel guilt for it. Not one bit. No shame, no guilt with the dessert eaten. I have one more.
Okay.
I enjoy not answering the phone. I will literally look to see who's calling, and I'll be like, I don't feel like talking right now. And it could be like one of my favorite people in the world. I'll be like, I don't feel like talking to her or him, and I will not answer the phone.
But you answer it for me.
I always answer it when you call, yeah.
You know, my friend, let's change his name to a pseudonym. My friend, Benaldi. He never answers his phone, and his girlfriend, Jylene, she has made it clear to me that texting is the only way that she ever speaks to him as well. So I don't feel that bad about it, because we were really, really confused. Like, he never answers his phone, and he never calls, but he, like, sends emails. He has this huge, like, cyber presence, you know, but never... You never hear his voice.
I find that to be strange.
And you know, she tells me that he goes to Starbucks and the name he gives is Robot.
For real?
Yeah. Maybe that's part of his identity. Maybe his guilty pleasure is that he's not human. This really isn't about outing Benaldi. before we take off here, I want to give a big thanks, as always, to Outside Residential. We'll put up a link... www.myspace.com/outsideresidential. Check him out. Huge thanks to Shania D for submitting her music for us to play here. ShaniaD.net, ShaniaD.net, or myspace.com/ShaniaD. Check her out.
Where can the good people send us an email if they have something to say?
Of course. We just started up an email account at startaruckus@gmail.com. So it's startaruckus@gmail.com. No spaces, no underscores, all one word. And our website, as always, is
www.theruckus.wordpress.com.
That is absolutely right. And as of about a week ago, you can also subscribe to us now on iTunes. Do it. Write a review. Tell a friend.
And be sure to stick around for our next episode.
If everything goes as planned, our next episode will in fact be one on roller derby with a couple roller derby girls as the guests.
No.
Yes.
So until then, everybody, go catch a cold like Rachel and go start a ruckus.